to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a special Shoot the Defence brought to you by the FNX Network. I'm your host Stel and I'm joined on the line by Fort Lauderdale Strikers Managing Director Luis Kukachi. Luis, welcome to the show. Great to have you on. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's an absolute pleasure having you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Well, Luis, I understand you've been at the club since September 2015, but can you tell us a bit about your background and how your career path led you to the Strikers?
Yeah. I came from the corporate side. You know, my background comes from the corporations like IBM, Motorola, and like you mentioned, I joined the club late September or early October. My goal here is restructuring the club. You know, take a club that's a 40-year old club and give him that club as a future. You know, something that we can put a plan. Have a plan behind and look. 1, 3, 5 years ahead of us and how we can take this club from 40 years to about 150 years. You know, but my background is basically from the corporate side. I met some of the Striker owners about a year ago in some of the events in Brazil, and we met, we discussed about the club, we discussed about the potential, the markets, and they liked some of the things that I brought to the table, and I joined the club, and you know, I'm now full-time with them, and happy, you know, where we are and the things that we're planning to do in your future.
Fantastic. No looking back, eh?
I think you always need to have the roots. The roots are there. You know? You always need to, you know, every big company, you know, when they go to a difficult time, they go back to their roots. And basically, that's what we are doing with the Strikers. But I'm going back a little bit to our roots and how we were successful on the late 70s, and I try to duplicate some of that stuff, but also looking ahead, you know, how we can build a team that's stay here, working 12 months, and, you know, and getting ready for something bigger.
Fantastic. Most clubs in the UK are criticised for having board members who aren't football fans, or how we'd like to call football men. Is football in your blood?
Yeah. I used to play. You know, I used to play professional until my 20s, and then I had to make a decision: or go stay with the professional side, or go to the corporate side. I put that on the table, and the corporate side was more attractive. You know, grew up in Brazil, and everybody plays soccer down there. It's very competitive. And I decided to go to the other side, but I always engage with soccer, always, you know, talking soccer, always reading about soccer, studying about soccer, and business at the same time. Today I look soccer from a different perspective, but happy with my experience early in my career as a player, and happy where I am now that I can help a team with a huge tradition to turn around that club and grow.
Brilliant. While Premier League clubs lean the way from a commercial standpoint, many have been criticised for their lack of activity in their local communities. Now, from the outside looking in, I can see soccer teams in the States focus heavily on community projects, not only to boost their awareness, but gain new fans and give something back to the region. What can you tell us about Fort Lauderdale's stance in that aspect?
Yeah, things that we did. We're on this new plan for 6 months now, and we decide to improve the product first. You know, we brought a new coaching staff, we brought new players. You know, I think that the initial approach was be more competitive, and now we're attacking the community side of how we can take that product that's a good product to the community. Bring the community back to the Strikers. That's basically what they used to do in the 70s. They hire good players, and they put a good team together, and then they took that team to the community engagement. Basically, I'm duplicating what was done in the past. And that kind of was the initial approach. And we sometimes you feel a little bit on the attendance level because you haven't done that work early. But I'm okay where we are now, and if you see some of the indicators are showing that probably we are in the right direction. We're in the right direction here with those trackers. Also, engaging something that we're doing different from the other teams. Kids under 12 years old can come for free. This is not a common decision in the U.S. No, they kind of charge any people that come to your gates. But we are bringing the kids for free, and they're experiencing your professional soccer. We are seeing that metric and more kids coming to the stadium week after week, and I'm very happy with that.
So is that part of the youth development program?
The youth development program. We have the U23 team. We finished the U19 team. And on the academy side, we decided to go on organic. We did a joint venture with Fort Lauderdale Select, 600 kids that we brought to our system. And we do clinics and camp. There's like another 3,000 kids that participate in our clinics and camps, sponsored by Publix. If you look at how we're structured, we have the professional team, the NSL, the 23, U19, and then we have the academy from U6 to 16. And then we have clinic and camps and others underneath. That's how we are trying to grow here. But take time, we're 6 months into this. This will take time a little bit more because the strikers, we never had them. They always had a team that we used to turn 90% of the players. The turnover was very high. We are trying to change that mentality now, reduce the turnover, and work well.
Yeah, I guess it's you're planting the seeds, aren't you, at the moment?
That's correct, and that goes with a lot of hard work and have the right people around you to help. I don't want to call it a transformation, but I want to call there's a plan, there's a business plan that we're following. Some things are happening, some other things are not happening, but if we do a mid-year checkpoint, there's not like a major repair that needs to be done. Some minor adjustments here and there, some of our tactics, and to move on.
Fantastic. Well, many of the elite teams in Europe have been criticised for investing in foreign talent and accused of neglecting their grassroots responsibilities. Now, from a US soccer team's perspective, are imports affecting player development in a good or a bad way?
I like bringing in talent from outside and use that talent to develop your local. Local kids. The problem is, if you don't have the local, the youth structure, that strategy doesn't work. It's just bringing in talent. You're using that talent, and you keep using them. And that guy doesn't share what he has learned and what he has done. And one of the things that we see here, the majority of our international players, they participate in camps, they participate in camps, they're engaged with the community, they talk to the kids. Is a way to share some of their experience with the academy. I think if you have the right structure under your professional team, I see the benefits of bringing people from outside with a better experience that you can grow your local talent. And also, a big difference is your coaching staff. The coaching staff see the value of the local talent. And have the mindset to say, okay, my roster of 25, 26, 30, I will have 5, 6 that are coming from the academy. That helps. I'm really happy with Caio Zanardi because he does have that mentality. You will see next year, you will see 6, 7 players from the U19 with the professional team. Very happy with the decision. We're on the right track.
Fantastic. So the club currently sits 6th in the table, 3 points off top spot, and have an exciting US Open Cup clash against Orlando City this week. DC United were brushed aside in the last round, but beating Orlando City would surely be a bigger achievement given they have the likes of Nocerino, Baptista, Breccia, and the certain Ricky Kaká.
Yep. You know, 3 points. 3 points is something that every weekend we play for. It doesn't matter the opponent, but that's what the desired state when we go out to the field and play soccer. Beating, MLS side is always, there's a plus there.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to build confidence for the fall season, but also on the commercial side. They get more attention, they get more media attention. Help the sales organization that have been investing 10, 12 hours a day to sell merch, sell tickets. Help the whole organization move. And it will be a difficult game, but I know one thing that I'm happy with the strikers is the tactical discipline. We are not moving away or shifting when we have difficult games. We saw that during the Florida Cup when we played Shock, Santa Fe, Shakhtar, even Corinthians. We never changed the way that we play.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the discipline. But that can take you to places that we never were before. Because I think we're lacking that.
Fair enough. So, strikers have also got a World Cup winner in Kleberson. How has he settled at the club?
Yeah, he's one of the nicest guy on the planet. And family guy, very good for the locker room. Share everything that he has learned with the other kids. And when he steps in the field, you can see the difference. You can see the difference from a player that have experienced high-level competition at the World Cup. You can see that it's clear that the way that he touched the ball, the way that he see the games. We are, taking good care of him that he can be ready for the fall season. He went through like 3-4 injuries. We are having work with that. Probably what I heard from the coach, he'll be back in about a week or so, and he'll be adding a lot of value to the existing to the way that we have been playing, which is quality. When you look at players like Cleberson, Gabriel, PC, Adriano, these guys, they have experienced high level soccer. See the difference on how they play the game and see the game.
So where would you like to see the club in 3 to 5 years?
That's a good question. People ask me about where do you go from here? And people ask me about MLS. Is MLS a reality for you? And my answer is probably why not? If MLS is part of your growing, how you grow as a business, why not? Today we don't have that in our roadmap, but we want to be relevant at NASL and win championships at NASL. Be relevant Florida Cup. We are playing Florida Cup against in 2017. Be relevant on the West Cup by beating MLS sides. No, I think if we accomplish those things, I think we'll be ready for the next level. And if the next level is MLS, we go there. We put a strategy to get. Put us there. But at this point, I'm more concerned about be competitive, engage the community, and do some of the things that we haven't done in the last 40 years. And then we make a decision where we should take this thing.
Great. Well, I was actually going to ask if the MLS is beyond the realms of possibility, but you've answered that question for me. But is it a case of finances that's the main, I wouldn't say issue, but the main obstacle?
I don't think so. I don't know. People say it's $100 million, $200 million, $300 million. They always use the financial number as the way to get into the system. But if you have a team that's competitive, if you do have a community behind, you have a good stadium that delivers good experience, the financial pieces will be there, you know. The problem is how I can develop these three elements before I bring the financials, because we can have the money, but we know some of the MLS teams, they have the money, but they don't have all the rest, and they're not surviving. If we go, I want to build these three elements first, you know, be competitive, have a stadium that delivered great experience, and have my fans behind. The financials will come. That's not a factor that will limit our decision.
Fair enough. And are there any plans to venture outside the US, be it for either a friendly games or possibly business agreements with other clubs?
Yeah, we are playing Florida Cup in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Probably at least this year we went to China, working there with the Ronaldo Academy. For 2017, I'm still working on the calendar. But I will probably take the club to Brazil in November to play a small tournament there. And we are opening Strikers Brazil. We will have a company in Brazil with our name. I will start that with the academy and probably go to the professional side. And we're making progress in China with some business there, working close to Ronaldo and the R9 Academy. The Brazil markets because, you know, our owners are from the market. We see some options that they have their business there. And there's space there for us to play. Good branding awareness there. And in China, good market to some of the talent that we have today, like PC, Dalton, Mateus, Luis, we see some of these kids that can fit that market. The Asia market, Korea is very hot now, and Japan, you can position some of these talents on some of those markets, that we can also have that line of revenue. Today is very difficult to make money by, negotiating players inside the U.S. market. They don't pay much. And I believe that I do have talent in place there that fit the international market.
Fantastic. Well, Luis, thank you ever so much for your time, sir. I wish you all the best and the Strikers all the best for the future. Good luck on Thursday against Orlando and good luck for the future as well.
Thank you so much and thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much. I believe the Strikers have a website, strikers.com, isn't it?
It is, strikers.com.
Brilliant. All the information can be found on that website. Well, thank you very much, Luis. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. So that was Fort Lauderdale Strikers Managing Director Luis Cucacci. Hope you guys enjoyed the show and we'll be back soon. Take care now.